Hello, Cleo, are you okay?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Can you hear me okay, yeah?
I can, yes.
Fantastic. Well, firstly, thank you so much for coming on the live to speak to the community. It's just really great to get an insight from someone in your industry and just to hear your experience. For everyone who may not be aware of the wonderful things that you do, are you able to just give a brief explanation of your career? And just your own personal anxiety journey that you've experienced.
Well, I've always wanted to be a singer, but it was kind of a dream that I wouldn't admit to myself because it was a dream that I was very scared of at the same time. And I always wanted to be an actress as well. And then I started as an actress. I was 19, and I already had many issues. Like I have T how do you say that in English? ADHD.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, ADHD. Yeah.
Yeah, I recently discovered that I have that. And so I began like running through many moments of my life and remembering and thinking, oh my God, like how did I get here? And I didn't have a lot of support, like mental support, because I had already anxiety, I had already depression when I was 19. And beginning to work in an industry that is very competitive, that I'm 40 now and I was 19 then. And then it was for women, it was very hard because there was always this competitiveness between us that people would feed on us. And that for sure fed on my anxiety, fed on my depression. But I struggled a lot, but I think I had only therapy. I started therapy when I was 17, and that helped me a lot. But it didn't help me as much as now that I found out that I have ADHD, because now
That's
I'm
really
treating.
interesting.
Yeah,
So
I didn't know.
when you look back on your childhood, can you see that ADHD was always there, but you just didn't know how to label it?
For sure, like when I was a kid, I could not focus on anything. I never wanted the things to end. I was always on the run, like always doing things that were very hyper. I hated to go to sleep. I hated to stop and have to take a shower, for example. But not as like a usual kid hates it. Like it would mess with my mind. I would like cry a lot. I would feel depressed. So I can't imagine that it was really hard for my mom then because nobody would talk about these things in Brazil then. So, but then like she always told me, no, you're too creative. You're too imaginative. Oh, you know, you just have a lot of energy. And I always felt like something was wrong, but I had no one to validate what I was thinking.
No, that makes real sense. And when you got obviously to the age where you got the diagnosis, what was it that you were able to highlight to get to seek that diagnosis?
I'm sorry, what was what?
So how were you able to reach out and get the diagnosis? Because obviously you said that you've had it through your childhood. But now you got to a certain age where you're able to get diagnosed. How were you
Well,
able to do that?
because I discovered I had Hashimoto disease. That is a disease on the thyroid.
Okay.
It's a self autoimmune disease. And then my doctor said, look, this is not an easy thing, so maybe you should try psychiatric help to help you through this because you know, you have a lot of compulsion, and your compulsion makes you eat things that is very bad for your Hashimoto disease. So maybe you need not only therapy, but maybe psychiatry. And I was like, I tried psychiatry before, and you know, I don't want to be taking a lot of pills and all that stuff. And he was like, just try it. And so I did. And this psychiatrist made the diagnosis. So I owe it to him. And it was late already. I was 30, I'm 40 now. I was like, what, 37, 38?
Okay. So it's quite something.
It's really recent, but it changed my life completely, because before, when I felt something was wrong, I would tell therapists, like, but what's my diagnosis? Like, what is wrong with me? And they would be like, in the best of their intentions, but they would be like, oh, I don't believe in diagnosis, because diagnosis is not going to define you. You're not a diagnosis. And I was like, okay, they must know what they're talking about. But for real, when I was diagnosed, it set me free, because I knew I had a tool, because I feel like ADHD is just a tool that you're born with, but you really have to know how to use it. Like what to do, what not to do, what to avoid. And for example, I didn't realize how much exercise was good for my mental health, was good for my ADHD, how my healthy eating was going to help my state of mind. I didn't understand that. And through my diagnosis, all these things helped me so much. Like, I feel like before I was trying to run, and then when I had the diagnosis, I started flying. That's how I feel.
No, that makes sense. And like you said, with exercise, it's all about pent up energy, isn't it? So exercise is a great release for all that energy that's built up within. Just from your own personal experience, can you see a link between ADHD and anxiety?
Well, what my psychiatrist told me, because I was like, so I must be really unfortunate, because I had depression. I was diagnosed before with depression, and then with anxiety, and then with bipolar humor disorder or bipolar disorder. And now I have ADHD. Like, I have everything. I'm the person that God was like, you were going to be born with everything, honey. And he was like, no, because of your ADHD, because you had it since you were born and you didn't treat it, all these things became symptoms. So your anxiety is a symptom of your ADHD. It's not a rule. Not with everyone is like this.
Yeah.
But with me, it was a symptom of my ADHD. That's why I always say, like, when someone is diagnosed with anxiety or depression, I always say, listen, maybe this is not your case, but it would do no harm to investigate a little bit further, because maybe you're treating just the symptom.
Yeah, we always say the first port of call should be the doctor, so they can run the correct medical tests and, like you say, get the correct medical diagnosis. Because there is other physical conditions which can mimic anxiety, such as problems with your thyroid and things like that, that can cause anxiety symptoms. Clea, I just want to go over to the questions from the community. We've got some great questions for you. The first one is, have you ever been harmed in the work environment because of anxiety? So did anxiety ever really affect you when you're on stage or doing the great things that you do?
Yes. Anxiety, for one, was what made me take so long to begin my singing career. Because every time I would think about being on stage, the feeling would swallow me whole. I would feel like I was trying to stay with my head above the water. Mm. You know what I mean? So instead of starting earlier and being able to, since a young woman, do this work and know the industry and, you know, begin from a young age, I only began when something inside me told me, look, you're already 34. And not that there's an age to start things. I don't believe that.
No, definitely not.
But I could have started earlier. I could have been now in another stage, like more evolved in my career as a singer. And I didn't because of anxiety. As an actress as well, in the beginning, when I didn't have a lot of experience and I got in the work environment, I felt like I had to, like, I felt like I had to shut down to deal with the people, because that made me feel like the anxiety made me feel too self-aware, made me feel like I wasn't enough, like what I was doing, what was I doing there? You know what I mean? So it always messed up a lot of my relationships, like in my personal life, because anxiety makes you not give time to time, which is
the problem with anxiety, like you just mentioned, is often we're focusing the attention inward. So it's always we're ruminating on the physical symptoms. We're worrying about those anxious and irrational thoughts. And often we can get caught up in that. And like you say, it can become very lonely for people. Just regarding, obviously, you being able to take that first step to become a singer, to become an actress, what advice would you give to some people who may be in that position now where anxiety, they feel like anxiety is stopping them? What advice would you give them to really go for the goal?
Wow, that's a hard one, because, you know, people are different, and maybe what works for me maybe sounds too hard for someone else, or just doesn't work for someone else. But I feel like, first thing, you have to get the diagnosis. And don't be scared of using medicine, because I was. And the medicine, together with therapy, together with a good eating habit, a good exercising habit. Mm-hmm. It's a whole bunch of things that you have to do, and you have to get yourself to that place where you want to do these things for yourself. It's not easy. Self-care with anxiety is so hard, because you don't even know like how to trust your instinct. What is your instinct? What is your anxiety speaking? You don't know how to differentiate these things. But something that really helped me after, I mean, first is that diagnosis. Then is the therapy with medication for me really, really, really helped me. And just thinking, I began doing a work with myself that I would be thinking like, so this is my desire, okay? So this is my desire. This is one of my dreams. I'm not going to hurt anyone. I'm not doing anything wrong. Why do I have to think twice? Why do I have to think so many times about it and not act on it? Mm. This is just a feeling of being scared. I'm not going to be defined by my feelings. I'm not going to be defined by my recurring thoughts. This is something that I'm having access to. But this is not going to define me. So I still felt the anxiety. I still felt the fear, but I went for it.
Yeah, no, that's great. And was that therapy that taught you that new mindset?
It was a lot of therapy. It was also, you know what, people say that the social media is very bad for your mental health and stuff like that. But I found so many useful and helpful tips on social media. I follow some hashtags, and it really helped me. Like I got really good tips from the social media as well. Also, I started realizing that I had to have people around me. And that was the hardest one, I think, because you always think that your family is going to be your support system, but sometimes your family is not ready to do that. And it's not their fault. It's okay.
And for some people, the family can make it worse. It all depends on the relationships and the support they're given.
That's very true. And it's very dangerous to have this romantic thought that your family is going to be your support system. It's going to be your the ground you step on. And for many people, that is not true. So sometimes you're going to find your support system in the people you work with or the new friends you make. Sometimes your old friends are not going to understand you. You really have to be brave and make these choices and face them as victories. I would like, on days that I was really feeling really bad, that I like taking a shower was a victory for me.
No,
or
definitely.
Washing my face and brushing my teeth was a victory for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that. I was like, okay, I'm going to have one victory today. At least one victory I have to have today. I would put myself in this mindset and I would get up and take a shower. After I took the shower, I would feel 10% better. Feeling 10% better, I would make my bed. Second victory. Then I would feel like 20% better. So I would be able to go to the kitchen and make me something to eat. You know what I'm saying?
And why you say, with every little step that you're taking, reinforcing it with positive self-talk, telling yourself that you've done something good, can really help some of that recovery as well. Because when people are dealing with anxiety, they've got an inner critic that is turned up, telling them that they're not good enough, telling them that they're not going to recover. So changing that narrative with every small step that you take is really important as well.
The small victories, I call them, small victories are so important, because in the end, you have like five victories. Or even if you have one, if you're feeling 10% better, it's already so good. Because when you're in that state of mind of anxiety or depression, you feel like there's no way out. There's nothing you can do that is going to put you through that or take you out of that state of mind. And it's just a feeling, because there is things that you can do that are going to help you.
Exactly. Well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful answer to the question. The next one, Cleo, is, in your industry, is there enough support for people who are struggling with their mental health? And also within your country as well, do you see it's getting better now? Is it the same as the US or the UK? What's your take on it?
I feel like this is a conversation that is starting to begin. We're starting to have in the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stigma still with therapy, with mental health. But there's a conversation that is starting, and that is very important, because if there's dialogue, then you feel permission to feel the way you feel. That's very important. If you don't have permission, if you don't feel you have permission to feel the way you feel, then how are you going to look for help if you don't even know how you feel? But in my industry, there's not a lot of support for mental health. And it's, as an actress, you have to put yourself in the state of mind of the character. And sometimes it's a crazy character, you know, who does like not very healthy things. And that can lead you to a spiral of issues that are going to lead you to have more difficulty to deal with your real state of mind. And that happens a lot to me.
That's interesting. So you'll get a character that's very complex, and then that'll have a detrimental impact on your own mental health.
Yeah, there was a point that I really didn't want to, I didn't even know if I wanted to be an actress anymore, because it was so disturbing for my personal life when I realized that. I would get into characters much better when I would really absorb the things from the character. And many things were not good for me. I didn't have the support to let me know that what I was doing maybe was what was driving me to a not very healthy place.
Yeah. So I think the take from that is that more support is needed for actors, actresses, and in the music industry to really help people, especially like you say, when they're diving into these complex roles. I think a good support network would be welcome there for your own emotional support as well.
Yeah, because there's many people who work as an acting coach. It's a very important job that you have to take the actor to the character and make him live the character, so that interpretation is the best it can be. That's our job. But at the same time, these professionals should also be briefed on taking you out of the character, leaving the character, because that's the hardest part.
That's really interesting, Cleo, because I spoke to quite a few actors within the community, and I've never heard that side of someone talking about the impact of actually getting into character and the support needed at the start and at the end of that journey. And I think that's a really important thing for you to highlight. So thank you for that. The next question is, have you ever turned down opportunities due to your mental health? So within your career or maybe within your personal life, any opportunities?
So many.
Yeah.
So many. Like I started to develop because I had all this anxiety that was not treated. I started to develop a lot of social phobia. So many places that I have to be and do this kind of lobbying, relations and everything, I just wouldn't go because I couldn't go through how that make like the state of mind that put me in. So I missed a lot of those opportunities. Characters that when I felt that I was gonna go to those dark places again, but they were amazing characters, and I was like, it's either this character or maybe my life,
right?
So I think I'm gonna choose my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did miss a lot of opportunities that if I had the support that I do now, maybe I could have done them in a very healthy way.
No, that really makes sense. The next question is, how do you personally advocate for mental health? So obviously doing things such as this on social media, but do you advocate within the industry, and how would other actors be able to advocate for changes like the one that you mentioned before?
I think as a public person, it's important to speak out publicly about your personal experience in a way that makes people want to relate to you and want to look inside themselves and maybe use that as a fuel to go after their process of cure. As a person in private life, I also advocate a lot about that. My team, for example, the team that works with me, I always tell them, look, go to therapy. Let's work something out. Let's think money-wise, we're going to work something out for you. I can help you find maybe something that is cheaper, because unfortunately, it's not accessible to everyone. It's not something cheap. It's not something that people understand that is just as important as your physical health. So
is it similar to the American system where you need an insurance for the treatment?
Well, you can have the insurance for the treatment. You can have through SWISH, which is a structure from the government that allows you to have your health benefits, mm-hmm. but you don't have to pay. And it's something, it's such an important tool here in Brazil, the SUS. So I always tell them, let's maybe find something through SUS. Or, you know, if you need your mental health time every day, let's work on that. Because I work a lot. People that work for me work a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know that, for one, your work can save you, can help you a lot.
Definitely.
But it can be something against you if it's too much for you, if you're in a part of the process where you don't have a lot of control of your mental health.
Yeah, definitely. So, a double-edged sword, isn't it? Why you say finding the right balance is critical.
Exactly.
That's really good that you look at it. That you look out for the team, and I can just say from personal experience dealing with your team, each and every one of them have been wonderful, and that's just obviously a credit to you. But having a team and being able to look after them and really put their mental health first is like you say, that's starting from yourself, who's a public figure, and showing other people, hey, this is what I do with my team. This is a normal thing to do for my team. How are you supporting your team, etc.? And like you say, it's these conversations that we have that can really start change. And like you say, in your country now, you're hearing the conversation. Social media definitely, I believe, has helped to kickstart the conversation and really take down the barriers from different countries. And I think it's only positive in that aspect when we're talking about mental health advocacy.
For sure, for sure. I think social media, there's a very good side to social media where you can find support. If you don't find it, if you don't have like friends or a team or family that can support you, maybe you can find a community online that can support you, you know?
No, that's really important. That's the reason why we created the community. Because like you know, Cleo, when you're dealing with these physical and emotional symptoms, they're very scary. You often don't have the education to know what these symptoms are. And you often feel alone, isolated, and you find it hard to open up to people because you're scared of how they will react. But if, like you say, if you stumble across a mental health community and see that, well, there's thousands or millions of people all speaking about the same thing, it then becomes normalized, and then they can start to really put in those tools that you mentioned to help them with recovery.
Exactly. So I actually want to thank you for the profile you have on Instagram. I think it's such an important thing. It's an amazing work you're doing. Congratulations for that.
No, I really appreciate that, Cleo. And on to the final question from the community, which is, do you have any tips for social media? I seem to get lost in apps for hours on end, which stops me from doing the things that I want to.
Let's see, tips for social media. Maybe start looking for communities online on social media that you, because you're going to start using social media in a way that is going to be healthy for you. Also, I try not to, for example, little victories, small victories. I don't get in my Instagram when I wake up. Like, I don't do it. Before I brush my teeth, I do what I have to do, and then I start looking through my social media, which is hard because sometimes I have work that comes through the social media.
Of course, but
this is something I had to do for me because I felt like that too. Like I would be totally dive in social media, and I have already the problem of procrastination, so that would help me to procrastinate more. But I think when you are in the process of understanding your mental health and having your diagnosis and having a doctor to help you out, a community, maybe it's one person, maybe it's online, maybe it's physical, I don't know. But when you start having those steps, towards something healthier for your mental health, then you're going to find strategies to deal with the social media that is the thing that is taking your attention from the things that you have to do, or if it's something else that is taking your attention from the things that you have to do, you know?
Yeah, that's really important. So I think the take from that is boundaries, isn't it? So you've set up some boundaries in the morning where you don't first go to your phone, you do other things to set up your day, and then you've allocated time. So boundaries and structure, two things which we don't really have when we're dealing with mental health conditions. We often find it hard to keep a routine and keep a structure. So that really, I really like the messaging that you have about the small steps, because just a small routine that you make out for yourself, and even if you don't hit everything on it, just be positive for the things that you have managed to do, because dealing with anxiety is very hard. It takes a lot of energy. It can be very upsetting. So knowing that you are making small steps in the right direction, you're still going in the right direction. It all leads to the same destination.
Exactly. Also, something that I learned is, because I always heard, oh, you have to learn to meditate because meditation is so good for anxiety and it's so good for the ADHD head, mind, and how it works. But it was always impossible for me to meditate. It's too much for me. So what I do sometimes is maybe for 1 minute, if I'm in the car going someplace, or if I'm waiting for the set to be ready, I don't even need to close my eyes, but closing your eyes is easier. And then I just breathe and I focus on my breathing, and every thought that comes through my mind, I let go, that's not mine, it's just a thought. And then another one comes and that's not mine, it's just a thought. And it gets to a point where the thoughts come and go so easily that you don't get involved with any of them, and you feel more empowered, you feel more centered. That's very good to me.
Yeah, so that's a form of mindfulness, which is a practice that we can do through meditation. So like you say, you don't have to have your eyes closed, but it is very useful and focusing on the breath is really helpful when you're practicing mindfulness. But being present with your thoughts, your physical sensations, the environment around you, even if you sat down like this, how do your feet feel on the floor? How does your bum feel in the seat? And being acknowledging the thoughts. And like you say, you have the choice to either accept, reject, or replace those thoughts. Thoughts are not facts. Just because we think something, it doesn't make it any more real.
Yes, exactly. Being able to say, no, this is just a thought, is so important. This is not me. It's just a thought. I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my feelings. Also understanding, if you're feeling bad, maybe it's a thought that caused that. So going back to that thought and letting it go and just realizing it's just the thought, you don't have to feel like this, helps a lot too.
Yeah, I often say this in the community, Cleo, because that can be really hard to interpret, because someone might have a thought and then it causes a physical sensation, but then they mistakenly think because it's made them feel that way, that it must mean that it's true. But that's not
exactly
the case. That's not the case, though, which is really important to highlight. And I love all your messaging with that. And I think that's a great place to leave it, Cleo. I'd just like to thank you for coming on, speaking with the community, and for everything that you're doing, advocating and sharing your story. It takes a lot of strength. Where can people find you on social media? And is there any exciting things that you have coming up soon?
On social media, I'm Cleo, just Cleo.
Yeah.
On Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. And now I just released a new single with a video called Everyone I Loved Has Made Me Cry. And next year I'm going to release another single in my first album because for now I only have EPs and singles, but my first album is coming up next year. I'm producing a new movie too that I'm going to shoot in January. I have two movies to release next year. I just released one yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Before yesterday. And there's a lot of good things coming this year. And
you're a very busy woman and with a very busy team. So firstly, congratulations on the film, and congratulations on everything that you're doing. I can't wait to see all your work coming to fruition. So thank you so much again, Cleo. Really appreciate you taking the time out. And I wish you all the best with your continuing success.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak here with the community. It's very important to me. And I'd like to send my love to the community and say that I know there are very, very, very hard days, but they're going to go by. Don't grab onto them. I know it's hard. And please get a diagnosis. Treat yourself with the best love and respect, because you deserve it. And thank you so much. I wish you all the best. Congratulations for your work. Yeah, and that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Cleo. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take